Thank you, David. 720 WGN. Good evening. It's Ken Smith with you. Hope you're having a good Wednesday so far. Want to say hello to my producer, Michael. How you doing, Mike?
Hey, Ken. Great to see you.
Great to see you. How was your week?
It was a fantastic week. It's great to see your face again. I'm excited for tonight's show.
But nobody ever is excited to see my face.
Well, after
they may be excited to see me from time to time, but not my face.
You know, I did want to see if there were any more Box of Crumbs stories that you had coming through.
So I know.
I've been waiting all week to ask you.
I know. I'm sorry. No more Box of Crumbs. But I did. Well, if you've been listening to the show, we had a caller call in and say that you could get a box of crumbs from Long John Silver's. You could just order a box of crumbs. And, you know, look, that crispy stuff that they have, you know, when you order, you get the fish, you get the hush puppies, you get the fries, and then those little crispy bits are in there. Mm-hmm. You can just order those little crispy bits. So a few weeks ago, I actually went to a Long John Silver's and asked them for some crispy bits. And she's like, I don't know what you're talking about. And I said, you know, those crispy bits that you have in the basket. She goes, oh, you want a box of crumbs? Yes. And so they gave me a box of crumbs. And then during the commercial break, our engineer came in and said, well, Long John Silver's crumbs are great, but Popeye's crumbs are the bomb.
Yes.
Now, I was actually at a Popeye's yesterday, but I did not ask them for a box of Popeye's crumbs.
Oh, bummer.
They were having too much trouble deciphering my coupon.
Mm-hmm.
They had to bring the manager over and have her ring it in and all that kind of stuff. So I figured, well, asking for a box of crumbs from Popeye's at this time may not be advantageous.
Heads would roll.
Heads would roll. So I'm going to, as I figured, okay, well, I'll have to wait, you know, till next time to get a box of crumbs from Popeye's or to see if they actually have a box of crumbs.
Well, it's great to see you behind the mic again.
Oh, it's great to see you. Thank you very much. And we've got a huge, huge show coming up tonight. We've talked about this in the past, and it has been in the news lately. And that is the Marnie Yang case. And Marnie Yang has been convicted of double murder and sentenced to life in jail. She, if you recall this story, there's an angle with it involving 1985 Bear Sean Gale. They were having a relationship. Sean Gale was having a relationship with this other woman who was pregnant with his baby, and the way the story goes, as far as the prosecutors put it, Marnie Yang became jealous of this, killed the pregnant woman. She goes away for life. In the last few weeks, there's been evidence that's been uncovered that shows that Marnie Yang may be innocent. We'll go over that in just a little bit with Marnie Yang's children in their first radio interview, a WGN exclusive. Marnie Yang's children will be here to talk about their mother, to talk about the case, to talk about what happened to them during the investigation, why they think that their mother is innocent, and what they hope to have happen. So Marnie Yang's children coming up just a little bit. Are you in debt? Do you have credit card debt, Michael? I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes.
Yeah, there might be some.
There might be some, although you look like a pretty responsible guy.
I kind of live off of Subway sandwiches, or isn't there a lot of
Not a lot of spending
going
on there.
Yeah, I'm not buying any jet skis or anything or houses yet.
No, just Subway sandwiches. That's a good way to live. If you just eat Subway sandwiches, you're going to pretty much keep your expenses in check.
Mm-hmm. But I always am like very interested in finding out how these financial advisors can really help you organize your finances, because sooner or later I'm going to buy a house one of these days. I can't always just live in a studio apartment, I suppose.
That's true. That's true. You're going to have to move up a little bit. I mean, as we've learned in previous weeks, you ended up winning Was it a hot tub on the on Let's Make a Deal?
Yes.
Yeah, you ended up winning a hot tub on Let's Make a Deal and then didn't have any place to put it because you were basically living in a dorm room or something like that, or a studio apartment.
And that was actually the one, it's true, and that was the one, well, we kept it in my driveway and it collected snow. But that was the one time when I did have credit card debt, because they actually charged me more money to bring it to Illinois than it was worth.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. It's kind of a big deal.
So the next time you, so if you ever plan on going on another game show and you might need to move into another apartment, a bigger space, you may need the help of Denitha Doe. She is a financial expert. She is one of the stars of the new Crackle original show called Going for Broke that premieres tomorrow on the streaming service. It's produced by Ashton Kutcher, and they go around and find millennials who are deep, deep, deep in debt and try and get them out of debt. So we'll talk to her about tips about getting out of debt. If you have questions, I'm definitely going to want to hear from you. I love you, baby. I hope my wife is listening, because I know that she's had to cut up a few credit cards in her lifetime, as we all have. I remember, boy, you go to college and you go to the bookstore. Anybody who's gone to college knows this story. You get there, it's freshman year, you go to the bookstore to get those books for that first trimester, and there's the table sitting right outside. Get that credit card. Sign you up for that credit card. You're automatically approved, and it begins. So we'll hear from Denitha Doe and talk about getting out of debt from her. Also, there is a great family-oriented event going on in Lisle, as we know that Halloween is around the corner. Jack's Pumpkin Glow in Lisle is a space, it's a walk-through space, but it's all carved and illuminated pumpkins. So it's not just jack-o'-lanterns that, you know, have like missing teeth, and I mean, it's really elaborate stuff, and it is, boy, is it Instagrammable. It is fun for the whole family. You will not believe how some of these pumpkins are carved. The lead carver for Jack's Pumpkin Glow in Lisle, Will Tarrant, will be here today. We'll talk to him about that place and exactly how do you end up becoming a pumpkin carver. It's an amazing thing. And then the owner of the Prairie Grass Cafe and one of the founding board members of the Green City Market will be here. They'll be talking about their fall menu. They'll be talking about their Thanksgiving dinner and how you can order dinner from them to take out, or you can eat dinner there. And you know, you think it's October and you think the farmers markets are over. The farmers markets actually aren't over. Green City Market continues with an indoor market. We'll find out about that as well. But first, coming up, a man whose work I'm pretty sure you have seen on Chicago television. He is one of the most unique and amazing photographers in this city. And I'm sure you've seen some of his cityscapes. You know, if you watch the news and they get to the weather and then they end up showing photographs on the weather, I'm sure that at this point they're going, oh, not him again. Not him again. Because his photos are so spectacular. And Barry Butler is going to be here, and he has a new 2020 calendar that is coming out, and it's amazing. We'll learn all about that, how he got started in photography, and how you can pick up one of his amazing 2020 calendars. I'm Ken Smith. It's WGN Nightside. Barry Butler is coming up next. This is 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Ken Smith with you until 1 a.m., and that's when Nick DiGilio comes in, takes you through the rest of the evening. My first guest tonight is a man who I said earlier, I'm sure you've seen his work if you've watched weather reports on any station, especially Channel 9 with Tom Skilling. And that was the first time I actually saw his photography. You know, how Tom will show, you know, have weather photos at the end of his weather report. And I go, oh, that name sounds familiar. I wonder if it's the same, you know, Barry Butler that I know. And it turns out that Barry Butler's cityscapes have been featured on every station, on every news site, on different webs, Huffington Post and Thrillist. He's got thousands of followers on Instagram. He is an amazing photographer, and he has a new 2020 calendar coming out. And he's my friend, and I'm glad he's come in here tonight to the beautiful Skyline Studios here at WGN. It's Barry Butler. How you doing, Barry?
Well, thanks so much, and I'm disappointed. I thought I was here to talk about Blackhawks hockey.
Well,
so.
Don't worry. We'll probably talk a little Blackhawks hockey. We're kind of matching. We both. Nobody knows when I go out of Chicago. Nobody knows what this symbol means.
Right.
You know, they go, "Oh, what is that?" I'm going, "Oh, it's Blackhawks." We're both wearing our matching Blackhawks hats today.
Well, thank you so much for that introduction. I want to clarify something.
Yes.
I am not on the calendar, okay?
Okay, good. You want to sell a few, right?
Yeah, I won't be Mr. January or February or March. So,
okay, no, very
it's,
good.
It's photos of our beautiful city. Actually, I also have an Ireland one, too, but the Chicago one is one that everyone, obviously, in this town likes.
Yes, and the photos are absolutely amazing. If people want to see some of your photos, they can go to your website, and what's that?
Well, there's a few ways. Easiest way, actually, is through social media. So on Facebook, it's Barry Butler Photography. On Twitter and Instagram, it's Barry Butler 9. And then my website is barrybutlerphotography.com. The nice thing about the social media is whatever I took that day, and sometimes moments earlier, I post.
It's going to be there.
Yeah, whereas the website just has pretty much my permanent collection, daily deals, and then obviously the calendars.
Well, you have an interesting, it's an interesting story because we've known each other forever.
Mm-hmm.
And I never knew you to be into photography. How did you get started in photography?
Yeah, the main part was when I broke my collarbone playing hockey, and okay. I couldn't do anything for 8 months, so I had one arm to work with, and I said, okay, well, I'm not one to just kind of sit around. I'm fairly active. I'm like, okay, what can I do here? And I decided to teach myself photography. So I bought myself a tripod because I got one arm to work with, put the camera on the tripod, and taught myself, and that was about 25 years ago.
Wow. Have you always had a passion for photography? Or?
Yeah. I mean, you know, as a teenager, I used to sneak cameras into concerts and so on and so forth. But it really kind of kicked in by, you know, trying to figure out what I was going to do for 8 months.
So you end up, you buy this tripod, you've got one arm, you've got a broken collarbone. That's got to be excruciating.
Yeah, that was not fun.
That was not fun. Did you start off shooting, because you're known for your shots of the city, so did you start off shooting cityscapes, or
no.
Did you start off shooting apples and bananas, or
no.
What happened?
Well, here's the funny thing is, I never shot in Chicago on a regular basis for quite a few years, because I was someone who got very interested in, you know, wide landscapes. So I'm originally from Ireland, so I would do a lot of photography in Ireland.
Okay.
And then I would go out to the Grand Tetons and, you know, places like that, Grand Canyon, Yosemite, and that was my passion. And typically I shot around Chicago just to get myself warmed up for those trips. And
okay.
Social media came around, and I would just throw up a few photos of Chicago, and people would be like, "I like that." And I'm like, "Oh, you like that? Really? I mean, that doesn't really interest me."
So you didn't think
no, and I still
that it was hot stuff, or
no? And still to this day, I'm still trying to figure out how people like my stuff. But you know, I really appreciate it, and I just love our city. I mean, that's the first thing. Is this is a wonderful, beautiful city? It's the prettiest city in America. It's nothing even close, and it's a pleasure to take photos of it every day. But it just kind of turned into, I was just doing some practice shots and showing some people my work, and it was really kind of throwaway photos, and people were interested in them, and that just kind of blew up from there, and it blew up real quickly.
Are you just being humble, or do you truly not see what other people see in your photos? Because I don't know a whole heck of a lot about photography other than the class that I took in high school, and that was basically like the Brady Bunch episode where he's, you know, where Greg is developing film in the dark room. You know, that's about all I learned. But you know, I don't know much about photography. I don't know much about art, but your photos jumped out at me. You don't see what other people see in your photos?
The photos I'm taking, it's stuff that it means something to me. And a lot of it is because of the fact I do a lot of work to get that shot. And so I do a lot of planning. So, you know, when I succeed on that planning, it means something to me. And yes, it's definitely great that people say it's great. But I at times I'm like, oh my gosh, there's a mistake there. I can't believe I did that. Boy, I could have done that so much better. But the fact that people like it, and I think more than anything, people are appreciating that we have a beautiful city. And you just have to look around, and it's there. It's there every day, and I just try my best to bring it out and show people that this is a great city.
But it's an art form to be able to actually see that. You say, oh, there's a... So, in other words, there may be things that our listeners or myself walk past every day and don't give a second thought to, but you see something in it.
Yeah, I'm constantly...
When did you notice that you have that gift?
Oh, that's a good question. I'm framing constantly. I'm looking out the window right now of the studio.
Going, what can I do with this? Damn, I didn't bring my camera.
It was actually the first thing I said. You know, I'm seeing the Chicago Lighthouse in the distance on this dark night. But yeah, I'm always framing. And you know, right now I see NBC Tower. And boy, there's something I could do with that right now.
Right, right.
So it's probably just the way that my mind is working. And I just see, you know, stuff in a composition on a regular basis.
So when did this become a profession? When did it go from just being, oh, I'm having fun, it's a hobby, I'm taking shots?
Yeah, probably about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And then it's gotten pretty intense since then. It's great. I mean, I certainly love it, and you know, it's the classic example of do what you love, and it's something I do love a lot. And I'm very, 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 very fortunate people enjoy the photos. So you know, I will definitely keep shooting, because first, like I said, I'm shooting because I like them. Like tonight, I was out by Adler Planetarium, and you know, I thought the sunset was going to be okay, and it wasn't really anything interesting. But what was interesting were the waves coming up against the lakeshore, and I took a bunch of shots, and I was like, oh, do I really want to post this? Because people are going to think I'm whacked. And I decided to post it, and people are like, oh, I really love that. I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm really confused here that what people would like. But I let it go, you know, and there are warts in those shots, but that's okay.
Barry Butler is our guest, BarryButlerPhotography.com. You can find Barry Butler on Instagram and on Facebook. We're going to take a quick break for news, but when we come back, you talked a little bit about the amount of time and effort that it takes to get one shot. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. And I also want to talk to you about where your favorite places in the city to shoot are, and your favorite things to shoot, what they are. So if you can stick around for a few minutes,
happy
I'd love to talk
that.
To you more about that. Ken Smith with you, WGN Nightside. We've got news with David Jennings coming up. This is 720 WGN. Thank you, David. 720 WGN. Ken Smith with you until 1 a.m. My guest with me right now is Barry Butler, photographer extraordinaire. You've seen his cityscape shots all over the internet and on television. BarryButlerPhotography.com and Barry Butler on Instagram and on Facebook. Welcome to WGN, Barry. Thank you for coming in.
Thanks for having me.
We were talking a little bit earlier about you shooting cityscapes, and I asked you, did you get started shooting apples and oranges and bananas and things of that nature? Is there a difference between, you don't shoot a lot of family portraits or people or things other than cityscapes. Is there that much of a difference between what you do and a photographer who is shooting people or shooting different things? Is it kind of like, well, the difference between a baseball player and a football player, they're both athletes, but it's two completely different sports.
I think that's a great comparison, because you know, I do teach lessons, and there are times where I will teach a journalist photographer how to do landscape photography. So, because it's a different style. And so when it comes to portraits, yes, that's a completely different genre of the art, if you want to call it that. And, you know, for me, that's not something that necessarily gets me too excited. You know, there's, you know, lighting and everything that you have to, you know, bring along, whereas I got the best light, which is our sun or moonlight. You know, moonlight, we get some very interesting light coming off of there. And but yeah, I find it more of a challenge and more interesting when I have elements that are completely somewhat not very well controlled.
Whereas, out of your control.
Yeah.
You like that challenge.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's exciting every day. Because I am planning all my shots at least 24 hours ahead of time, so I know where I'm going to go, you know, tomorrow morning or tomorrow evening, and that's, you know, based on all the little things I use for data to gather out, like, where would probably be the best spot in Chicago to be, or wherever I'm at, you know, in Ireland or wherever.
We were talking during the break a little bit, and you said, well, tomorrow's it going to be a clear day and a sunny day, and I said, oh, that's great. You must be excited.
No.
And you said, No,
it's death. Blue skies are boring. I want something in the sky that gives some texture and some character. Because if you think about it, if we have blue skies every day, this would look the same every day. Whereas when we have clouds, we have lightning. Oh, that really gets me excited. When we get polar vortexes, I mean, that is like the best. I mean, quite honestly, mayhem is awesome.
You love that. You're the only guy in Chicago who's excited for the polar vortex.
That was one of the best, you know, several days in quite some time. I had so much fun. I was out there for hours where people are like, oh, I wouldn't go out there for 4 minutes. I'm out there for hours. Loved it. It was awesome.
This is incredible to me what you go through just to get these shots. So first of all, how many days a week do you go out and do this?
I shoot just about every day.
Just about every day.
Yeah, the only thing that probably would prevent me from shooting is it is going to be absolutely blowing, you know, where it's, you know, blue skies, or we have just absolutely lashing rain. You know, otherwise, I'm out there and I'm shooting and I'll find something to work with, and there's always something intriguing, and especially since we have just so many options here in the city, you know, whether it's, you know, taking a shot down Michigan Avenue, along the lake, up in a helicopter, you know, putting a drone up in the air, there's always something interesting to look at.
So you, let's take tomorrow, for example. Mm-hmm. You already have, and again, people have no idea what you go through on a daily basis just to go out and get the shots you do. So let's, for example, take tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You already know where you're going to go tomorrow.
How
does your day start? When do you go out and take these shots? What information have you armed yourself with before you go out there?
Yeah, so the process starts about, like I said, 24 hours ahead of time. I have about 30 different pieces of data that I look at. They're all weather-related because that's what I'm looking for, is just something that will make things look interesting. So I'm going through cloud formations, wind formations, where the sun is going to be, where the moon is going to be, what is actually going on in the city. Sometimes I like to kind of tie something in with, you know, what's going on. So, so I start going through that, and I double-check throughout the day, so it's not like I necessarily lock it in,
right.
And I will check on what's going on with the weather forecasts on news, because, you know, I'll see something like, for example, you know, Tom Skilling, his weather forecast is pretty extensive. I see some of the radar data that he has, which I don't have access to, and so I'm kind of looking at that. And then when I get up in the morning, which is typically an hour and a half before sunrise, I do my final check and make sure that I am going to go where I'm, you know, where I think is going to be, you know, the best spot. So I'll check those morning newscasts as well, aside from my own data, and then away I go. And, you know, sometimes it's like fishing. You know, you get to a spot and you're like, oh gosh, this is not going to work out. Yeah, this is a bad call. But then there are a lot of times I'm rewarded, and you just, you know, and there are times I'm not sitting behind the camera just shooting. I'm enjoying it. And I think the thing that we have to understand is that we have free entertainment every day. And it is what happens either at sunrise or sunset. I find lightning, you know, very exciting. That's a great light show we see. Or, you know, and even when we have the snow coming through, I mean, just watching that snow coming down, I mean, it's relaxing. So, so there's a great enjoyment. Then at the same time, boom, take a couple of photos and post them up there, and then it makes someone happy.
And something that I find remarkable is that this is not your day job.
It's one of my jobs, right?
It's one of your jobs, but you do this every morning, and you're getting up an hour and a half before sunrise. You go out, you take these shots, you do all of this, and then you go to work.
Yes. Yeah, I work two full-time jobs. But you know what it is, Ken? I mean,
it's people like you that keep me from working one full-time job.
But you know what? You know, what's that old adage? You know, if you love what you do, you know,
right?
You know, and that's what I do. I love both of the full-time jobs that I have, and I'm very lucky that both of them are you know make me challenged every day and get me excited to get up in the morning and enjoy what the world will bring me that day.
Where are some of your favorite places in Chicago to shoot? I've seen a lot of your shots that are, they're sunrises, they're from downtown. Mm-hmm. So I assume you're talking about the museum campus, Adler Planetarium, earlier. So I assume that Adler Planetarium, North Avenue Beach, those are probably some of your favorite spots over Lake Michigan.
Yeah, well, Fullerton Avenue is probably, you know, one of my favorites. It used to be my favorite.
What makes Fullerton Avenue different?
It was different, and now it's changed because they did a lot of modernization of that area. But it used to be all rocky and kind of ratty a little bit, so okay. It had a lot of character.
And so you liked that?
Yeah, and you don't, you know, right now, I don't mean to be mean about this, but it kind of feels like a shopping mall to me from 18th Street all the way up. So I like a lot what's going down on the south side of the city. So whether it's Promontory Point or...
Oh, see, now you're coming to my neck of the woods
I get excited about that part because, you know, no one has gone down there and made it all look perfect. And it has a lot of character. So I like that uniqueness because it's important for me not only to have a great view of the city, but I want some foreground. And if it's just cement, and it's just not exciting to me. I love the rocks and all the jaggedness that's out there. So, but these days, because our lake levels are so high, not seeing a lot of that lately.
No.
But, yeah, and then, you know, quite honestly, seeing the city from above, you know, whether you want to go up in the Hancock or the Sears Tower or get up in a helicopter, man, I tell you, there's just some absolutely beautiful ways to see the city around here.
If there's someone listening right now who... I've kind of always thought about getting into photography. What are the essentials that they need? What do they need to go and get? And how much is that going to cost them? They could do something on the cheap.
Yeah, I mean, well, first of all, you do not have to buy an expensive camera. That is probably everyone's biggest mistake.
Can you use your phone or do you need a camera?
Yeah, no, the phones are great because it's a great way to start. Because ultimately, I'll tell you right now, you can take a great photograph with one of these, with an iPhone. And even the new technology that they have right now, it's on parallel to a lot of the consumer cameras that are out there. So, I mean, it's really tough to take a bad photo. But really what it comes down to is managing the light and composition. If you can master that, that's when the photographs really have some pop to them and become interesting. And you can take that with an iPhone. You can take it with a $300 camera. The cameras that I use allow me to go out and shoot during the polar vortex. They're weather sealed. So my camera's not going to shut down when it's minus 50.
Right.
Or if I'm out there and it's pouring rain, my camera's not going to shut down. So that's why I make that investment. And then also the other part is that my images, you know, people will buy them to be up in offices, and they want a 13-foot by 3-foot panorama of the city. Well, you're not going to get that with
an iPhone.
With an iPhone, right. But quite honestly, 95% of the people, probably more than that, don't need that. So, you know, enjoy the phone. I mean, quite honestly, there are shots that I've taken and people don't realize I took that with an iPhone. And so you can take some good shots on these things.
Send those into Apple, man. You might end up on that on the billboard on Lake Street. You're coming off of the Ohio feeder.
You know, Ken, as long as
says shot
me,
with an
fine.
iPhone.
I'll take it as long as they pay me.
Right. You've got a new 2020 calendar coming out. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So you know, this is something that quite honestly, I used to just give to family and friends, and then a few years ago, I had extras, and I said, hey, anyone interested in something like this? And I'm like, they were gone in like minutes. I'm like, oh, wait, I have something here.
Right.
And so for the past several years, I've been offering a calendar, and it is of Chicago. And I also have one of Ireland, by the way. So if you're into Ireland, I have one on the website for sale. But the Chicago one is what people really enjoy. And each shot for each month, we're taking in that month. And for this year and in prior years, the January through September photos were taken this year.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah.
So, and then October, November, and December were taken last 2018, year.
2018. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they're all current. So it's not one of those things where all of a sudden there's stuff that, you know, you look right now and, you know, we have Vista Tower just right outside our window right here. You know, that view was not, you know, you didn't see that, you know, 18 months ago. Well, you know, Vista Tower is possibly in some of my shots.
Okay.
So everything you see there is current. And like I said, it was taken in that month. So yes, you see Polar Vortex shot in January, and it was taken from the south side. It was, I took it down at Promontory Point, and we had a lot of ice down there, and I shot through the ice, and the city was right in the background. So I really like that one because that took a lot of work to pull that one off. And then I have St. Patrick's Day for March. And then we have what else do I have on there? The big thing that everyone started talking about for some reason this year was the Chicago Henge in September, where the sun was lined up with the east west streets of Chicago and created that Stonehenge type of look. And so that's in there for September. And you know, I'll tell you that I had a great response last year. People really liked what I did, and you know. And the fact that the shot was taken in that month, I think it means something to somebody. So,
And it sells out. So
yeah,
if people want to get the 2020 Barry Butler Chicago calendar,
yeah,
or even the Ireland calendar,
right.
Where do they go?
Well, BarryButlerPhotography.com, and to go to the calendar page, you'll see the Chicago one, you'll see the Ireland one, you'll see the photos that are for each month. So, and then in the Chicago one, there's a little bit of a surprise. I have two little guys that follow me everywhere I go, which are my dogs. And Ajax and Tusker are my companions. They're my assistants. And this was by request by people who follow me. There is a picture of the two of them in that calendar, but they're not in one of the months. It's a separate picture.
So. Oh, so you got to find them.
Yeah.
A little Easter egg in there for you.
It is. That's a good one. Yeah, that's my Easter egg. I love that.
So if you want to get that calendar, go to Barry Butler Photography or Barry Butler on Facebook or Instagram and do that now, because they do sell out every year. And how are the Hawks going to do? They going to make the playoffs this year?
Gosh, I hope so. But as long as they win, it was nice to have them win the other night because I became a much happier guy.
Getting a little worried, huh?
Yes, I've been very worried.
Yeah,
because I get tired of this losing thing. But no, I think they're good. I think there's a lot of excitement again on Madison Street. Cup might be a little bit of a challenge for them to get there, but they got some great players. They got two great goaltenders. So, and if you got goaltending in the NHL, that can take you pretty far.
You get hot.
Exactly.
You get hot and you can ride it. Barry Butler, thank you so much. BarryButlerPhotography.com. Barry Butler on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And his 2020 Chicago and Ireland calendars are available for purchase right now. Coming up, the children of convicted murderer Marnie Yang will be here in studio. Their first live radio interview. They say their mom is innocent. We'll hear what they have to say coming up next on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, I'm Ken Smith. Thanks for joining us tonight. If you've been watching the news, really over the past 10 years, but certainly in the past few weeks, then you may have been reacquainted with the Marnie Yang case. This was something that began maybe 12 years ago or so, 2007, where Marnie Yang, her life was fairly normal, mother of three, and then all of a sudden she finds herself accused of murder, and then confesses of murder. She gets convicted, and she has been sentenced to life in prison. But now there are new details that have come out where she is saying that she did not commit this crime. Her children are saying that she did not commit this crime. And they're hoping that she can get a new trial. Joining me right now are Marnie Yang's children. Their first ever radio interview. And I absolutely appreciate the fact that you're taking the time to come down here tonight to WGN Andrew, Emily, and Brandon Yang. Welcome to 720 WGN.
Thank you, Ken.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit, for those people who aren't familiar with this case, just give us a little brief history about what happened. Emily? So it was 2007.
Yes.
And there was a murder of this woman, Ronnie Reuter.
Mm-hmm.
And her unborn baby were killed. This was in Lake County, am I correct?
In Deerfield.
In Deerfield.
Mm-hmm.
And
she was the girlfriend of Sean Gale.
She was the girlfriend of 1985 Bear Sean Gale.
Yes.
Now, your mother, Marnie Yang, was also seeing Sean Gale at the time?
She was, yes.
She was in a relationship with Sean Gale at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And prosecutors said that your mother was jealous of Ronnie Reuter. And when she found out that Ronnie Reuter was pregnant with Sean Gale's child, that's when she decided to kill Ronnie Reuter. This is what prosecutors said in the trial.
Yes.
First of all, how did your mom meet Sean Gale?
She met him at a Bears convention.
At where?
At a Bears convention.
At a Bears convention, okay. Mm-hmm. And they just started talking. And...
Yeah, she was working the Bears convention.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And then she ended up becoming his real estate agent or something of that nature?
Yeah, it was a business relationship.
Business relationship, mm-hmm. and it turned into something else.
Mm-hmm.
So what ends up happening is Ms. Reuter is killed, and then the police start looking at your mom. Is that the case, Andrew?
Yes.
So what were they saying? What were the police saying? They were not just looking at your mom. They were looking at you as well?
Yes, they were looking at me also.
Okay, so this is where it gets a little confusing. I can understand why. All right, the Sean Gale. I'm not saying that these are the facts of the fact facts, but I'm saying based upon what happened at trial. Okay, Sean Gale has two girlfriends. One's pregnant.
16 girlfriends.
16 girlfriends. Okay,
yeah.
But one is pregnant. Another one becomes jealous, kills that girlfriend. I understand that. Where do you come into this, Andrew? How do you become a suspect?
I become a suspect. They just wanted to sort of just... They really wanted to get to my mom. They knew I had nothing to do with it. They knew my mother had nothing to do with it. They wanted...
So you're saying, in your opinion, you don't think that the police had any leads?
No leads.
They were just trying... They were trying to pin this on somebody.
Right. They were following what they thought were leads, and they were just trying to make pieces fit.
Okay, so they ended up bringing you in for questioning?
Yes.
Was this before or after your mother was arrested?
This was before.
So was your mother there while you were being questioned?
No, I wasn't. And I wasn't.
And how old were you at this time?
I was 16.
So is that legal for them to question you without a parent present?
No.
Because I would assume you're technically a minor there.
Yes. A minor.
Okay, there's so much more in this case. Andrew, Emily, and Brandon Yang are here. Their mother, Marnie, currently is in jail for life on a murder conviction. They say she is innocent. You're going to hear what they did to Andrew, how they put a wedge between Andrew and her mom, and the new evidence that they have that says that her mom is innocent. So we've got that all coming up. So stay with us. That's all coming up next year on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Vic. Ken Smith with you until 1 a.m. And that's when Nick DiGilio is here as usual. Joined this evening by Brandon, Andrew, and Emily Yang. They are the children of Marnie Yang. Marnie is currently serving a life sentence, two life sentences for the shooting death of Ronnie Ryder in 2007. Ronnie was the girlfriend of 85 Chicago Bear Sean Gale, was carrying his child. Prosecutors claimed that Marnie, in a jealous rage, killed Ronnie Ryder, and also that Marnie confessed to this killing. Now, before we went to news, Andrew, you were telling us that they brought you in to interrogate you to say that you had something to do with this case? You had something to do with the crime?
Yes, they brought me in, and I asked them if I, you know, if I was under arrest. They told me no, and I felt like they were lying. Everything, all their actions, everything they did, literally, like...
What did they do? What were some of the things they did while you were being interrogated? And how were they able to bring you in there without your mother if your mother had not been arrested yet? Any parent?
Yeah, they had actually had a search warrant for the house, and they had served it early morning, and they came in, and they took me, my brother, and my sister, all three of us.
They brought all of you into the police station?
Yes. Yes.
And but you were the one that they tried to pin the crime on,
yes,
Andrew?
Yes, they separated us. They stayed together most of the time, and they took me somewhere completely different.
Okay. And they said, and what did the police say to you? They said, we're going to arrest you, or they said, we know you did this, or what did they say to you?
They said, if one of you was going to go down, it's either going to be you or your mother, and you need to start telling us the truth. But what I was telling them was the truth,
which was you knew nothing about this.
Exactly.
Okay. So it got to the point, obviously, where it got so serious that your mother felt that you were going to go down for this crime.
Yes.
So what did she do to save you?
She confessed and said that she had something to do with it.
She made it all up?
She made it all up.
Okay.
She falsely confessed.
She falsely confessed to the crime because she thought that they were going to arrest you for the crime.
And put me in prison.
And put you in prison.
For life.
Because I'm sure that everyone listening right now, the first time, you know, when they hear in regards to this story or any other story, they go, well, why would they confess to a crime that they didn't commit? It doesn't make any sense. You're saying in the case of your mom thought that you were going to go down for the crime, so she was doing it to save you.
Exactly.
What did they have on you? If it was something that you knew nothing about, I can understand.
They said I fit the description.
Do you fit the description of the person who was seen leaving?
Yes.
Ronnie Ryder's building, yes, or something of that nature?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. So now you're saying that she made it up. This confession was a false confession. Brandon, why are you saying now that this was a false confession? Do you have proof that it is a false confession? Is your mother saying that it is a false confession?
Well, a lot of the evidence that was shown was, like, not even real. Like, nothing really actually pointed to her to being, the suspect. After they took my brother and sister and me,
mm-hmm,
that day, it, like, really started to wear on my mom and both, like, my brother because of what happened. My brother ended up in a psych ward because of, like, just the stress they put on him. Same with my mother, like I said. And I noticed, like...
This is before the trial, or
This is right after the first interrogation.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was leading up to it, just a whole lot of stress. They kept, even after the interrogation, they kept on my brother and my mother afterwards, and it just got to the point where my mother feared for my brother's life, so she confessed.
Emily, did your mother have a public defender, or did she have a lawyer that she was paying during that trial? And what was the lawyer saying? The lawyer was letting your mother confess to a crime? The lawyer was letting investigators strong-arm your brother and pit your brother against your mother, and the lawyer wasn't doing anything about it? The lawyer wasn't able to go, they don't have anything, the truth will come out, don't worry about it?
I think she just thought that if she falsely confessed that afterwards they would figure it out, like trusting that the justice system would
end up working in the end.
Mm-hmm.
So that she probably thought that, okay, I won't be in jail for very long, they'll get this figured out, in the meantime
they'll get off our backs.
They'll get off our backs and my family can heal a little bit.
Yeah, this was going on for more than a year.
We were terrorized and threatened by the Lake County Task Force. It got to the point, actually, you know, all of us, my family, you know, mental breakdowns. They manipulated us into believing them and their lies when they had tried to turn all of us against each other. And yeah, they succeeded. I don't know what anyone else would have done at our age in that situation.
You were
16.
16.
I was 11.
And 11. You guys are twins. Andrew and Emily are twins?
Yes.
And you were 16 at the time, and you were 11 at the time.
Yeah.
So, Brandon, did you have any idea of what was going on?
No, nothing. I was really confused. Like, when they first brought us into interrogation.
They brought you in and interrogated you as an 11-year-old without a parent?
Yeah. They, like, I don't know. They said they had, like, a truant officer or something, but, like, I don't know. Is there some kind of, like, identifying factor? Or just, I just took their word for it. They just questioned me in a room with just two officers.
Was your father in the picture during this time at all? Okay.
Divorced a long time ago and left the picture.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Andrew, Emily, and Brandon Yang are with us right now here on 720 WGN. They are the children of Marnie Yang, who is currently serving a life sentence for the murder of Ronnie Ryder in 2007, the girlfriend of 1985 Bear Sean Gale. Fast forward to 2019, and now you have a new lawyer, and this lawyer is trying to get a new trial.
Yes.
Emily, on what basis is this lawyer trying to get a new trial for your mother? What evidence does he have that would possibly allow there to be a new trial?
Scientific proof that my mom was not the shooter. It could not have been her.
Okay, do you know what that proof is? They've done ballistic tests or something of that nature?
They have done ballistic tests.
Okay.
And some of the tests had said that the person, whoever it was that had done this, could not have been my mom's height, which is
shorter. I'm assuming your mom's probably, what, 5'1", 5'2", or something?
5 feet tall.
Okay.
Yeah, just shy of 5 feet. Okay. And, you know, with ballistic testing and all, everything that had gone on, the person that had done this had to be at least close to 6 feet tall.
Okay.
You know? So there's just no way it could have been her.
Now, there's also a videotape involved in this in some way. What is this? There's a videotape where your mom is implying that she has made up this confession?
Yes, and it was, like, left out. It was left out.
So this was a videotape that was available at the time of the trial?
Yes.
Who made this recording?
Her so-called best friend had wore a wire. And
for the police?
For the police.
For the investigators.
For the investigators.
And so they went to whatever, her house or a restaurant or something like that, and started talking.
Yeah.
And what did your mom say on this tape that implies that her confession was fake?
She said, let's just go ahead and...
But don't swear, but I know, but go ahead.
Let's just go ahead and make stuff up.
Let's just go ahead and make stuff up. And that was in answer to what?
In answer to, you know...
How do we get out of this situation?
Yeah, because they're going to put my son in prison, basically.
Nobody heard that part of the recording.
So that was not played at trial?
No.
No, it was not shown or played.
How is that possible? I'll tell you what, we have to take a quick break. I want to ask you how that's possible that that wasn't played at trial. Also, I know you have written a book as well. They're going to be at the Barnes & Noble in Deerfield on Saturday from noon to 2:30. They've written a book called My Mom Marnie. You will be able to go there and meet the children and pick up the book. I'll talk to you about that. But I want to know, how is it that that part of the tape was not played at trial? The children of Marnie Yang, Andrew, Emily, and Brandon are here. We'll continue our conversation with them next here on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, I'm here with Brandon, Andrew, and Emily Yang, the children of Marnie Yang, who's currently serving a life sentence for the murder of Ronnie Ryder in 2007, the girlfriend of Chicago Bear Sean Gale. And now, before we went to break, you had talked about how there was a recording by that her best friend was wearing a wire for the police. And on this tape, your mother said that she was just going to make stuff up. And in regards to this confession, and you said that that part of the tape was not played in court.
That's right.
Was that part of the tape not played in court because the judge would not allow it to be played in court? Or did they not turn that part of the tape over to your mother's lawyers because they have to disclose everything to the other side?
That part of the tape wasn't played at trial because the Lake County Task Force is known for corruption, and the tape was tampered with. They wanted anything that would incriminate my mom.
So your mom's lawyers had this tape, correct? Or they heard? You're saying that your mother's lawyers heard a different version of this tape, or heard a version of the tape that didn't include this?
Yes.
And so, therefore, that part was never played at trial.
Yes.
And so based on that, she's convicted.
Yes.
Do you have this unedited tape now, or do your current lawyers have this unedited tape now?
I believe so, yeah.
What is the process that you're going through right now to try and get your mother a new trial? What is happening? I know that the new lawyers held a press conference a few weeks ago, but what is exactly going on? Who is looking into this? Whose job is it now to look into it, to decide if there's going to be a new trial?
That's probably going to be up to the judge.
They're going to appoint a judge to decide if there's going to be a new trial?
Yes.
What do you think are the chances that you'll get a new trial, Brandon?
I mean, I would hope pretty high, because based on like all the evidence that like we've seen now, it's pretty obvious, and to not give a retrial would be like a pretty big injustice, especially after everything that had occurred, you know.
How often do you guys talk to your mom?
I talk to her a few times a week on the phone, and go drive up there to see her ever so often.
And how does she feel about this process that you're going through now to try and get her a new trial? Is this something that she wanted, or did she just want it to be left alone?
No, I think she wants justice. And I think that, you know, now that this is finally moving in forward, you know, her spirits are definitely...
they've been lifted a little bit?
Yeah.
What? Your mom is not here. You guys are, for lack of a better term, kind of speaking on her behalf. What is the message that your mom would want the world to know?
She's innocent.
Why has it taken? She's been in jail for how long?
11 years now.
Why is this now just coming out now, 11 years later?
Well, from...
If there's been this tape for this entire time, and you say that there was a corruption in the Lake County Task Force, did you just get the proof of this, or your investigators or your lawyers or whatever have just now gotten this proof within the last couple of years? Or go ahead.
I mean, new lawyers, new team. Without my grandpa sticking, you know, by this every step of the way, none of this would have been possible right now if he had given up.
How has this ordeal changed you personally, the three of you? Brandon, how is your life? How are you a different person because of this now?
Honestly, I can't really answer that, because there's like a, like, looking back on it from when I was a child then, honestly, there was still a lot of things that I needed to learn, and I had to grow up, like, very quickly because of this. I from 11 years old, I pretty much grew up without my family. Like, my father wasn't in the picture. My mother was no longer in the picture.
Your grandparents raised you, I assume? You were talking about your grandpa?
For a little bit.
For a little bit.
Until, you know, it got to the point where we just all went
kind of our separate ways for a little bit.
You've written a book now called My Mom, Marnie. You're going to be at the Barnes & Noble, 728 North Waukegan Road in Deerfield on Saturday from 12 p.m. to 2:30 p.m., other than trying to prove that your mom is innocent, what else were you trying to accomplish by writing this book, Emily?
It's definitely been a big part in all of our healing process. Writing it out and actually getting it out on paper helped, like, allowed us to make sense of it and understand this whole experience. We gained a perspective.
And it's also kind of a cautionary tale, because this could happen to someone else.
It has happened. And it's still happening.
Barnes & Noble in Deerfield on Saturday, 12 to 2:30 p.m. The book is called My Mom, Marnie. They will be on the WGN Morning News tomorrow morning, but I thank you all for stopping by here first. Emily, Andrew, and Brandon Yang, thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
For coming in. The news is next here on 720 WGN. Thank you, Vic. 720 WGN, Ken Smith with you for another hour and a half, and then Nick DiGilio, who I just saw in the hallway, will be joining us at 1 o'clock. Take you the rest of the way. Are you in debt? Do you have friends who are in debt? Of course you are. And of course you do. We all have one too many credit cards in our wallet or in our purse at the moment. And this next guest is going to help us with that. There's a new show that's going to premiere on Crackle tomorrow called Going From Broke. One of the executive producers of the show is somebody you may have heard of, Ashton Kutcher. And one of the stars of the program is financial expert Danitha Doe. Danitha Doe, welcome to 720 WGN.
Hey, Ken, how's it going?
It's going very well. How are you tonight?
I'm good. Thanks so much for having me.
Thank you so much for coming on. I want to start off by talking about student debt. How bad is it? How many students out there are in debt as we speak? Do you know the numbers?
Yes, it's definitely a growing crisis. We are currently about 44 million Americans owe a collective amount of $1.5 trillion in student loan debt. So this is something that impacts a number of people within the United States, and the impact ranges from millennials to their parents to those that are currently in college as well.
What do you said with a T? $1.5 trillion worth of student debt.
Yes,
student loan debt.
That is a T, like Tom, like the tea you drink, the tea I'm drinking right now. That is $1.5 trillion, more money than most of us, I would say, all of us have seen. But yes, this is a huge issue. And to give some context to it, because trillion can be hard to conceptualize. It's hard enough to conceptualize billion with a B. So $1 trillion, just to give some context around why this is such an issue, 15 years ago, that collective debt was $150 billion with a B, which is still a lot of money. But to think that the amount has increased by such an incredible amount in such a short period of time just shows that there is a lot of factors at play. And that this is a real drain on the economy. It's a drain on those. It's certainly an emotional burden for those that are currently struggling with student loan debt. And also it's a drain on the collective economy. So even for those that may not have student loan debt, maybe they didn't go to college, maybe they paid it off, this is something that impacts all of us. And we all need to be talking about it, because it's only going to get worse as time goes along.
Well, you said that earlier, you know, that 44 million Americans collectively owe this $1.5 trillion in student loan debt. But surely 44 million Americans aren't lacking the financial skills to pay their bills, are they?
I would say that's correct. I would say the majority of Americans know the best practices. I mean, we all know intuitively and conceptually and intelligently that it's important to spend less than what we earn. And I would say most of us do the best job we can to pay all of our monthly bills on time. And if we can, pay them ahead of time or pay more so that we can get ahead. So there are other factors at play. There are things such as rising tuition rates. Some reports place tuition rates rising 200% over the last 15 to 20 years. It certainly is rising faster than the rate of inflation, and certainly rising faster than the rise in wages or salaries. So many people that have student loan debt are between a rock and a hard place. They are doing the best that they can to make those monthly payments, but the economy isn't keeping up with the costs that they have had to endure in order to invest in their education and to create their own path to financial freedom.
Do other countries have this problem, or is this student loan debt crisis purely an American problem?
There are other countries that have issues with student loan debt. The UK would be one of them, but the exorbitant amount that we collectively have here in the United States is unique to us. There are other countries that have done a really good job around creating free access to higher education. And those countries, of course, then do not deal with the student loan debt problem, that the crisis that we have here.
Okay, you bring that up. There are many presidential candidates right now that are campaigning on some form of free college. Do you think that that goal is a realistic one?
I absolutely believe it's a realistic one. You know, it's interesting because usually the question that comes up when any presidential candidate brings up that case that we need to make college free, the next question is, well, where is the money going to come from?
How are you going to pay for it? Right, yeah.
How exactly. Are we going to pay for it? Well, there are a lot of areas within our spending, within our government, that can be curbed. There are a lot of areas where there is cash that is leaking out of, and hemorrhaging is probably a better word, out of our budget. And if we pay attention to those and plug those, I mean, one, for instance, would be our Department of Defense that is given a budget of $700 billion that they do not ask for. So this is one area that we can look into and reorganizing the way that our government seizes those funds and reorganizes it to something that should be viewed as a public good. That's part of the issue when it comes to higher education, is that we have shifted over the course of the last 20 to 30 years that the idea of going to college or university, this idea of pursuing a higher education, should be the responsibility of the student. And that wasn't always the case. 30 years ago, it was seen as a public good. And so there were a number of subsidies put in place so that the burden was not on the 18, 19-year-old or the older adult who was going back to school to create a better life for him or herself and their family. The burden was not placed on that individual. It was seen as something that the collective community was investing in, because when people are given the opportunity to invest in themselves, that improves everyone's experience. And so where the money will come from, there's lots of places where it can come from. And also we need to have a shift in how we view higher education. It's not just solely the responsibility of the students. It's also an investment in the community as well.
Do you happen to know the numbers in regards to how much the average family has to save to put their child through 4 years of college?
Well, the average cost or the average student loan debt that a student will graduate with is currently around $39,000. And so that is something that either the family has to figure out how they're going to pay through loans. Certainly there are scholarships and grants, but the average student graduates with about $39,000 in debt.
So you walk across the stage, you move the tassel to the side, you get your degree and your diploma, and you're $40,000 in debt before you walk off the stage.
Yes, exactly. And I mean, let's think about this. This is most of these student loans are signed by kids. These are children that are 17, 18 years old that don't necessarily have a concept of what $40,000 is, first of all. And then secondly, it's not just the principal that they owe. So when I say that they graduate with $39,000 or $40,000 in debt, that is the principal, the actual amount of money that they have borrowed in order to go to school. That does not include sometimes the origination fee. So if they had to take out a PLUS loan, which is a parent loan for undergraduate students, where the parent takes out a loan to support their dependent to go through school, there is a really steep origination fee that's attached to that. And then if it's not a PLUS loan, there are certainly penalties and fees and interest that are tacked on to that principal after the student has graduated and then takes time to pay it off, because it will take time for them to pay that off. So the $40,000 quickly balloons to a much higher rate that has to be paid back. And it's really burdensome for a lot of people.
Denitha Doe is our guest. She is a financial expert, and she is one of the stars of the new Crackle original show, Going for Broke, that premieres exclusively on the free streaming service tomorrow, and it is executive produced by Ashton Kutcher. And I interviewed Ashton Kutcher once, and he lived here in Chicago for a time, and when he was younger. So I bet that he was a young, broke college student at one time. So this is probably something that means a lot to him.
I didn't know that about Ashton. I knew he grew up in Iowa, but yes, a lot of us can relate to this time period. I certainly can. I went to school and took out a lot of loans in order to make that happen, and I can really empathize with a lot of students, because when you're going to school, you're just in the moment. You're excited about this new opportunity. You're eager to do the work in order to create a new life for yourself, or to continue the legacy that your parents have laid for you. And all of these loan terms are brand new. A lot of us, many of us, didn't have personal financial education in high school. So how could we possibly know what we were signing before going off to college or university. We're just focused on having a good time. People say that these 4 years or however long it is in college is the best time of your life. So a lot of us have that mindset and we're focused on that and we're focused on doing the best that we can. We aren't really thinking about the cost, the burden that will be placed on our shoulders after we graduate. So yes, I'm sure Ashton and maybe others, a lot of us can identify with the struggle that many graduates face.
We have to take a quick break. We've talked a lot about student loan debt. When we come back, I want to talk about the debt that just John and Jane Doe have on a daily basis. Maybe they don't have kids in college. Maybe they're not paying off a college loan or something like that. But boy, there sure are a lot of people that are living above their means, and maybe you can help them out. Denitha Doe is our guest. She's the star of the new Crackle original show, Going From Broke. We'll talk about credit card debt with her when we return on 720 WGN. 720 WGN. Denitha Doe is a financial expert and the star of the new Crackle original show, Going From Broke, which premieres tomorrow on the streaming service. We spent a lot of time talking about student debt, but Denitha, I want to talk to you a little bit about good old-fashioned debt and credit card debt. There are a lot of people that have way too many credit cards and way too much debt, and they're looking for a way out. Is it better to try debt consolidation? Is it best to work with the credit card companies? Should you, I watch Maury every afternoon, and every other commercial is about bankruptcy. Is bankruptcy the answer? What's the best way to try and get out from all that credit card debt?
This is such a good conversation, Ken. So credit card debt is something that many Americans have, and some are trying to figure out how to best manage it. You brought up bankruptcy. I would say that that is an option for most people. That is the last resort, because there's a lot of challenges that come after you file for bankruptcy. So
let me ask you very quickly, What are a couple of the pros and a couple of the cons to bankruptcy?
Well, the pros to bankruptcy are that the majority of your debts are discharged. Typically, student loans are not discharged. We were just talking about student loans, so that's why I brought that up. But with bankruptcy filing, you can discharge the majority of the debt that you have. So that means that you are not responsible for that. The cons to that, though, is that this stays on your record, your credit report, for at least 7 years. And so that means that when you get back on your feet financially and say maybe you're ready to buy a home or you're ready to do something where you need to get a loan for it, that will show up on your report and it will make it very challenging for you to be able to take out a mortgage or take out a loan in order to it will be difficult to do that. So that's something definitely to keep in mind.
So if you end up filing for bankruptcy and then you end up needing something where you need that loan or that good credit, you're going to take a 7-year hit on that bankruptcy. What about debt consolidation? What exactly is that? Is that something that is that a real thing or is that a scam?
It's definitely a real thing. And to be clear, there are always scammers out there. So you want to do your due diligence when you're working with any company to help you consolidate. I recommend going directly to your credit card provider to consolidate your debt as opposed to going to a consolidation company. And the reason for that is because even if the consolidation company isn't running a scam, they will charge you a fee to work with them, and you can bypass that fee by working directly with your credit card provider. So we had a couple on the show, Going From Broke, Max and Megan, who had 12 credit cards, and that was one of our suggestions to them, was to consolidate those 12 credit cards. And the reason why you want to do that is because, for two main reasons. One, when you consolidate your credit cards, you are able to, ideally, you're able to reduce the interest rate on the majority of those credit cards. So say the average interest rate on your credit cards is hovering around 20%. When you consolidate it, you're able to reduce that interest rate to maybe 18 or 17%. The other big reason why you want to do this is that you can pay one, make one payment per month. So with Max and Megan, they were making 12 payments per month to 12 different sources. When you consolidate, you're able to make one payment, which emotionally and psychologically feels much better. It feels much more manageable. And from a tactical perspective, it's much more easy to manage. So debt consolidation is definitely an option. If you're someone that's thinking about debt consolidation, I recommend calling the credit card company that where you have the highest interest rate and let them know your situation and work with them to see if there's a way that they will essentially buy your other credit cards. That's what that credit card company will do. They'll buy the debt from those other credit card companies, consolidate it into one lump sum, and ideally, like I mentioned earlier, reduce the interest rate, and then you'll make that payment directly to them.
So if you can cut that deal with the credit card company, they'll do the work for you. They'll buy the debt off of the other cards, put it onto their card, and then hopefully lower your interest rate on that card, and then you just pay off that one card.
Exactly.
Is there a difference or a benefit to having a store credit card as opposed to a bank credit card, like a Sears card or a Kohl's credit card or whatever?
Well, the amazing benefit of credit cards are the perks that they offer. So there are credit cards that have perks like travel points. My fiance has a credit card that we use because we like to travel together, and that credit card, when you use it, you're able to rack up points and then use those points to pay for a trip, for instance. When it comes to store credit cards, I'm a huge fan of Target. And so their credit card, if you use it, you can rack up points, and then you can earn a $50 gift card. I say that because each credit card has its own perks. So the key with credit cards is to spend mindfully on them. That's usually the biggest issue when it comes to credit cards. We all know in our brain that we should spend less than what we earn. We don't do it for a variety of reasons. And so when it comes to credit cards, it's remembering that same concept to spend less than what you can afford to spend. And so the idea with credit cards, the way to stay ahead of them is to spend mindfully when using them. And then to also use credit cards, see credit cards as perks. So if you're someone that likes to travel, look for credit cards that have travel perks. If you're someone that also loves to shop at different stores, look into that store's credit card and see if it makes sense for you to sign up for that credit card. The issue becomes when we've got a ton of credit cards that we are not using mindfully. We're just spending without really thinking about it. And so the goal is to use only what you need and to make sure that your spending is in alignment with your values and what you really enjoy doing.
Use only what you need. If you take anything away from this, take that away. Denitha Doe, financial expert. She's on the new Crackle original show, Going From Broke. It premieres on the free streaming service tomorrow. Lots of great tips if you watch that show. Denitha, thank you so much for joining us on 720 WGN. When we come back, it's going to be Will Tarin, the lead pumpkin carver for Jack's Pumpkin Glow in Lyle, coming up on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Ken Smith with you for the rest of the hour, and then Nick DiGilio will come in. Vic Vaughn in the WGN newsroom. How you doing tonight, Vic?
How you doing, Ken?
I'm doing great. Just so you know that someone shot us a text here at 312-981-7200 from 870 says, thank you, Vic, for calling it a nor'easter and not saying it's a bomb cyclone.
Are they the same thing?
I have no idea, but it sounds like I know what a new nor'easter is, but it sounds like a bomb cyclone is like, yeah, it's a bomb cyclone, yo. You know, I don't know. I don't quite know what a bomb cyclone is. But.
Well, I spoke with Rob Marciano to get that story, and he used the term nor'easter. He's the meteorologist.
That's
so
right.
I'm going to stick with what he says, so, but thanks for the texter.
There you go. And, of course, the Chicago Public School teachers hitting the picket lines later on today, but you say that now the Chicago Park District not joining them.
Yeah, that's right. They've got a tentative deal in place. So they're certainly not joining them today because they have that tentative agreement. Now, that's still got to be, we need documentation, just like any tentative agreement. So
right.
That's, contingent on that documentation. So, but it is confirmed that they will not strike the Chicago Park District. And that's important because those facilities are going to be open tomorrow. The Chicago Park District facilities are going to stay open for children who won't have class tomorrow. So that's, that would have been that would have been a perfect storm if this Chicago Park District and, public school district would have shrunk on the same day.
And I wonder if that maybe weakens the Chicago Public School Teachers Union's, bargaining power a little bit, because I know that they were ecstatic about having all these other entities kind of joining them. And as that's starting to look like it may not happen, or at least not happening with the Park District, interesting to see how this may affect the negotiations. Thank you, Vic. We'll talk to you more in just a little bit. The Chicago teachers hitting the picket line later on today. If you do have a child that is in the Chicago public school system, now Park District facilities are an option for them to go there. All Chicago public school buildings are going to be open during the normal school day. So they can go to an age-appropriate Chicago public school. There will be faculty administrators there. There will be food served there. So that is an option. They can go to their regular school. They'll be welcomed at any Chicago public school that is age appropriate. I know that there was one strike when I was in the Chicago public school system when I was a senior in high school, and that was 1985. So I was a senior. So I probably went to the movies, or I probably went to Water Tower Place or something like that during the strike. It's not like I needed my grandparents to watch over me, but I mean, it certainly is quite a burden if you have kids and you work and you count on the school to be there to help take care of your kids for that amount of time. There's a lot of people taking time off because of this strike. Hopefully it won't last very long. A couple of updates. We just talked to Danita Doe from the new Crackle original series, Going From Broke. Got a text here from 870. I graduated in 1995 with $85,000 in debt and paid it off in 10 years. It can be done if you're willing to make the sacrifices. Well, that's true. One of the first questions I asked her is that there's 44 million people who have student loan debt, but certainly that doesn't mean that there are 44 million people out there that don't know how to handle their finances. But it's interesting. She said the average debt that, you walk off that graduation stage with is about $40,000. I remember one of the happiest days of my life, and of course, other than my wedding day, was I paid off my college loan and my first car note in the same month. I finished off those payments in the same month. Now, you have a car payment. If you're rich, you have a car payment. If you're poor like me, you have a car note. But I had so much extra cash after I finished paying off those two things. I didn't know what to do with myself. So, don't live above your means. I know it's difficult. A lot of people out there are living paycheck to paycheck. It's not easy. Joe Maddon, you just won the World Series for the Chicago Cubs for the first time in 108 years. What are you going to do now? I'm going to Disney World. Well, he's going to Disneyland, actually. Joe Maddon, if you hadn't heard, just hired as the new manager of the Angels in Anaheim there. A 3-year deal. Sorry to see him go. Be interesting to see what changes are made on the north side moving forward. Michael, looks like you have something to say about the Cubs.
I do. I have something more so to say about the Angels and them getting Joe Maddon and everything. Good for him that he's still working on it. I know that he wanted to make his home here in Chicago. He had a lot of investments here. But have you ever been to Angels Stadium? Because you were talking about the changes that he might bring to that stadium. Have you been to any of the California sports world stadiums ever?
I have not. I've been to the Staples Center.
Okay. Yeah, the Staples Center.
And that's it. But I've been to Anaheim. I went to a wedding in Anaheim about a year and a half ago, but I have not been to Angel Stadium.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing, it's beautiful, beautiful weather, beautiful people, but it's so different going to a baseball game in California as opposed to Chicago, because when it's, I feel like if it's sunny 90% of the year, you don't really have the same appreciation of a great day at the ballpark.
No, when it's sunny here, it's like one of the first you think of, oh, wow, what a great day to go to a ball game.
Uh-huh. I need to get to the ball game. Where are the tickets? Bring them right now. Because when I went there, it was 60% empty. That is an empty stadium. So maybe some little fanfare from Joe Maddon is exactly what they need.
Boy, sounds like if I ever want to go to a game in Anaheim, I can get lucky on StubHub. It sounds like there could be a lot of tickets available game time.
When my brother and I went to the game, we parked and we got our tickets for $10 from the guy who was paying for our parking. Like, it's that.
Wait a minute, the guy who was paying for your parking goes, hey, you need tickets to the game too?
Yeah, $10 a piece.
Wow, you can't beat that.
It was like it was an all-in-one shop. So it's interesting to see him going to California. It's just like LeBron James going to L.A. I think they're just ready to end their careers in a nice, warm area, and they don't really mind what happens.
Well, Maddon was in the Angels organization for a long time, and I think he still has a house out there. So he has ties to that organization.
Okay.
So he is going back home in a way.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so that's that does make a lot of sense for him. Speaking of sports, just to follow up on something we've talked about in the past, NBC Sports Chicago is still blacked out on Dish Network.
What? Really?
And on Sling TV, which Dish Network owns. So if you're a Blackhawks fan like myself or a Bulls fan like myself, I haven't seen a Blackhawks game yet. I've been listening to them here on 720 WGN. But I have not seen a Blackhawks game yet because NBC Sports Chicago is currently blacked out on Dish Network, which I have.
That is so wild. So you didn't take the listener's advice and get the bunny ears and a little bit of tinfoil?
But that's not going to help you pick up, because that's a cable/satellite station. Mm-hmm. That's not like picking up free TV.
Jeez, so when is this thing going to get
I don't know. I would have thought it would have been resolved by now. The bull season starts in a couple of days, so you would hope that there'd be maybe more of an outcry. The Fox blackout on Dish Network and Sling TV got resolved right before the Vikings game.
Okay.
Right before the Vikings game.
So there are
some gears
turning.
That's been over for a couple of weeks. But still, every day I turn on my Dish Network, and it's not there.
Wow. Just get your stuff together, NBC.
Get your stuff
Network.
Together. Absolutely.
People need to see they're doing themselves a disservice, because how many more weeks of this will it last before you're like, all right, forget it. I'm just going to go to another streaming service or figure out another way that doesn't have to do with Dish.
Right. Or switching to something else, because it's something that. I wonder if I were to buy, because you know how there's like a baseball package you can buy or a basketball package. Mm-hmm. You buy those and you don't get your local games because your local games are shown locally. But I wonder if, because my local games are blacked out, if I bought the NHL package, if I would get Hawks games included in that. But then again, why do I want to give Dish Network more money?
Oh, good point. That's a really good point.
Why do I want to give them more money?
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things that I pride myself in while I'm here is feeding you. Sometimes it's cupcakes, sometimes it's crumbs.
a big differential between both of those.
There's a big difference. There's no doubt about it. But today, it's going to be the Prairie Grass Cafe. They are coming in here, and about 15 minutes ago, I don't know if you heard me. It was a commercial break. I went, ooh, I smell food. I smell food.
Mm-hmm.
And the kitchen is nowhere near the WGN Skyline Studios. And that smell of that food has been wafting in here for like the last 20 minutes. So
you're also in a beautiful soundproof booth right now in the WGN studio. So I don't know how it even seeped through.
I don't know. It's coming through the vents or something, man. But I can smell it. Prairie Grass Cafe is coming up. They've got a fantastic new fall menu. Lots of stuff going on for Thanksgiving. And also, something that I didn't know, talking about farmers markets and the Green City Market, we're going to talk about that. I thought that they were over come October. No, still going on. We'll talk to them about that. That and much, much more coming up next on 720 WGN. 720 WGN, Ken Smith with you on this Wednesday night / now Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us. Right now, joining us in the studio is Sarah Stanger. She's the co-owner and co-chef of the Prairie Grass Cafe, and that is in Northbrook, Illinois. Yep. And also with us is Tracy Vowell. She is a chef and farmer and owner of Three Sisters Garden. Welcome both to 720 WGN.
Thank you.
Now, I know that I was just talking about the Green City Market, and I know that both of you have been involved with the Green City Market. Sarah, you were
one of the founding members, so 20 years.
20 years, because it's been like, around
it's
a long
20th
time.
20th anniversary.
Yes, yes. And you're involved with the Green City Market as well?
I'm a farmer with the market, and I was a chef that purchased at the market for years and years before that.
Okay. And Prairie Grass Cafe, where are you located?
Up in Northbrook.
Okay. And so tell me about how Green City Market and farming affects your restaurant.
Yeah, so it's really the inspiration for how I write my menu and what is coming into season. That's what I'm going to put on. And Tracy is one of my key suppliers, farmers, and I use her product that she brings to me on my menu. It's one of the inspirations. So now fall, the acorn squash that are with the chicken is hers, and you know, we brush it with butter and brown sugar, and it's got pumpkin seeds, and it's delicious. But even on its own, it's delicious because the product's so good.
But you add brown sugar and butter for people like me.
No, everybody likes brown sugar and butter.
That's right. So, for example, if it's spring or summer, that menu is going to be completely different from what you have on your menu right now.
Right. It should reflect what's going on in the season. So we've just come out of this kind of hyper season where it's transitional. So we had little tomatoes, we had, you know, those kinds of vegetables, and we had some of the squash coming in. And right now is where you see the break, and it becomes more fall product. And you want to tell them?
First of all, Tracy, where is your farm located?
My farm's in Kankakee.
Go get right into that.
My farm is in Kankakee.
And what are some of the things that you grow? Not just what you supply Sarah with, but what are some of the things that you grow on your farm?
We do a bunch of dry goods. So corn for milling, 4 different kinds of dry beans, not soybeans, but edible beans. 2 kinds of popcorn, oats, those kinds of things. And then we do a range of vegetables in season as well. So sweet corn, tomatoes, peppers, squashes, a lot of those typical things, radishes, that kind of stuff. But our bread and butter really is in those dry products. You know, one of the things that we do to just kind of add into that, my parents do have a hardwood forest in Tennessee that's basically a tree farm. On that farm, there are a bunch of pecan trees. So we harvest and bring the pecans back up here. And that's the basis of our work for the winter months.
So it's a family affair.
It kind of is, yeah.
Mike, get me Family Affair by Sly and the Family Stone, please. That's how we do it here. So, how has this year been for you? Has it been a bumper crop, as
no,
they say?
It no. has not.
Okay.
It has not.
What are some of the problems been?
Rain, mostly. You know, we had 30, 35 inches of rain and almost in about the same number of days. So what happens is, you know, your plants are studded, they're stunted, they're very shallow rooted, and your fertility is washed away. Besides the fact that you're set back time-wise. You know, so everything that we did have this year, we had late. And instead of a continuous harvest of, you know, typically we see tomatoes for as much as 7 or 8 weeks, I had 3 this year.
Wow.
You know, so we're seeing about 25-30% of our normal vegetable harvest for this year.
So your revenue was down 20-30% this year as well?
No.
Or is it worse than
that? It's the other way around. It's the other way around.
It's down, you know, more than
that. It's down more than that.
It's down more than that. Farming is a big gamble, you know, and this year we definitely lost. But it seems that the years that we lose are coming more rapidly than they did in the past.
We've got to take a quick break for news, but when we come back, I want to ask about how Green City Market plays into this. I want to ask about how what you have at your farm and then what the items that she gets and that she and how it affects her menu. I know you've got some great stuff coming up for Thanksgiving at Prairie Grass Cafe. Sarah Stanger, Tracy Val, Prairie Grass Cafe, and Three Sisters Garden joining us here in studio. We'll talk a little bit more with them and might even get to eat a little something coming up on 720 WGN.
Precious, flat tires, road debris, and express lanes that are anything but express. Getting to work every day is a new adventure. Keep your travel times lower with WGN Traffic on Steve Cochran Show, weekday mornings on 720 WGN.
720 WGN here with Sarah Stanger, the co-owner and co-chef of the Prairie Grass Cafe in Northbrook, and Tracy Val. She is the chef and farmer and the owner of Three Sisters Garden, and that is in Kankakee, Illinois. Now, you were saying that there's been a lot of rain.
A lot of rain.
The harvest is down 20 to 30%.
At least.
So your bottom line is down how much this year?
We have fairly, it will shake out to be probably 60 or 70% of our total,
boy,
of our total income for the year.
So it's a tough one.
You know, I mean, well, we're really lucky in that our big crops are producing and the controlled crops that we have inside of greenhouses and hoop houses, they are producing. So we've managed to offset it. You know, what I'm looking at is our big project is to create more area that's covered that we can control a little bit more so that when the rain comes, I've got land that's protected that won't be set back.
So you're very fortunate that there are places like the Green City Market that you can go to and you can sell your goods there. Where is the Green City Market located?
Yeah, it's in Lincoln Park on Saturdays, and then it moves into the indoor market, which is in the Peggy Notabart Museum. And
that's something I didn't know. I thought that once fall hit, I thought that the farmers market was over. I thought Green City Market was over.
You,
but
you have to go. It's
but
amazing.
It moves back inside in about a week.
Yes, yes. So there, you know, there's apples and squash and stuff like that. But there's also greens that farmers have and honey and eggs and, you know, good things.
And what are some of the things that you're selling at Green City Market?
Well, I'll be doing my full line of dry goods. We've got some fall squashes that we'll have, and what, baby greens?
Polenta
and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Mm. Really nice.
And should people be, if you've never gone to a farmer's market, what's it like? There's just different independent vendors who are there, correct?
Yeah, independent farmers. There's about 50 independent farmers at the full Saturday market.
Oh, okay. So it's not just a couple of people. I mean, it is a big, huge thing.
It's a good sized market, and they're all they all have farmer representation at the market. So the farmers are there, and they're all third party certified.
Saturdays in Lincoln Park. It moves inside in about a week. We'll hear more about the Green City Market and more about the Prairie Grass Cafe after the news with Vic Vaughn. 720 WGN. Thank you very much, Vic. Ken Smith with you for about another 25 minutes, joined here in studio by Sarah Stenger, the co-owner and co-chef of the Prairie Grass Cafe, that is located in Northbrook. And Tracy Val is the chef and farmer and owner of the Three Sisters Garden in Kankakee, Illinois. We were just talking a little bit in the break, and I was telling you about how my wife now has the weekends off. Yeah. She just changed positions, and I say to her, well, why don't you go to the Green City Market? Go to the Green City Market. Don't get a parking ticket, but go to the Green City Market. Because it used to be every time she went to the Green City Market, 2 weeks later, I'd get a parking ticket in the mail. And I'd open it up, and it would say, oh, yeah, North Avenue, and where's it located?
Yeah. Clark Street,
right, Clark and North Avenue. I'm like, oh, yeah, I meant to tell you about that. But there's parking over there, right?
Yeah, there's parking.
Are you listening, honey?
You can get your ticket validated, and there's also I wouldn't know about the parking tickets because there's chef's parking too.
Ah, there you go. See, yeah. You got the hookup.
Yeah.
You got the hookup. So they move inside now.
Yes.
And you're saying that there's about 50 vendors there on any given Saturday.
During the winter, it's a little smaller.
A little smaller.
Maybe 25. Okay. 30. Vendors.
I'm not sure.
But it goes from what, 7 in the morning, something like that?
8 o'clock to 1.
8 to 1.
8 to 1
in the winter, yes.
In the winter, yes. And it's every Saturday.
Through November and December.
Okay, to the end of the year.
Yeah, and then it goes, there's a schedule that you have to pick up.
And so, how dependent are you on Green City Market and on farmers like Tracy?
You know, I'm very dependent on it for inspiration to go and see what's there and to taste it and to buy what I need for my specials and for what I want to put on my menu. But the farmers also deliver, which is great.
So to give people an idea of the type of things that you have on your menu, you brought some food with you today.
I did.
What are some of the things you brought with you today?
One of the things that I wanted to say is, you know, Tracy, for years she's grown these beautiful pumpkins for me, two different varieties. One is a luxury pie pumpkin, which is an heirloom variety, and then what do you call it, a Kankakee brown?
There are heirloom pumpkins?
Oh, yeah.
I didn't know that. So it's like an heirloom tomato. It's like the Rolls Royce of pumpkins.
Right. That's exactly what it is. It's like the Rolls Royce of pumpkins. And this year, because the crop was small, we're going to use them for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
So Thanksgiving, you're going to get the great pumpkin pies. Right now, we have pecan pie, and we made apple strudels. So I brought both of those for you to try.
Oh, I hope my wife isn't listening because she's going to expect to get some now. Wow, that's amazing. What are some of the other things that you...
I brought an Italian sausage dish that we like to do. We make our own sausages, and we use meat from Maple Creek, and it's beautiful pork. And then we have from Adams Acres, we've got Swiss chard and kale that's mixed in there, so it's spicy and it has a lot of flavor to it. So that's one of the dishes I brought, and I brought the chicken dish with acorn squash and wild rice that has pecans and roasted grapes.
And are these things on your fall menu now?
Yes, they are.
At the Prairie Grass Cafe?
Yes, they are.
Okay, so if that sounded good to you, and I know that it did, people need to stop by the Prairie Grass Cafe. What is your address? Where are you located?
601 Skokie Boulevard.
And do you have a website?
Yes, we do. PrairieGrassCafe.com.
PrairieGrassCafe.com. And, you know, now in 2019, the term farm to table is completely overused.
Yeah.
But to you guys, it really means something. It's not something that should be just glossed over. How important is it that we are having farm to table dining?
I think it's central to protecting our food system so that we have access for future generations. It is so important. And the way you can help is by shopping at the market, and you can also donate to Green City Market by going to the website, and that supports our educational components of the market.
Now, something like Green City Market, you know, when I hear farmers market, I think, well, I know when I go to Jewel or I go to the grocery store and there's the vegetables and there's the organic vegetables, the organic vegetables are always much more expensive. If I go to the farmer's market, if I go to Green City Market, is the food there, is what I'm going to get there be that much more expensive? Are there ways to offset that cost? Is it something that's available to everyone in the Chicago area?
Yes and no.
Okay.
There's a couple of answers to that. One, we do have a link program at the Green City Market, which is great. So
really?
Yes, so it has access, and we do a matching with the link. So that's good.
All right, hold on for 1 second, because I didn't know that. So if you have a link card, if you are on the link program,
mm-hmm.
you can use that link card
yes.
to purchase
you go to
at the Green City Market.
You go to the information booth, and they charge $15 out, and in return they give you $30 worth of tokens. And then you go through the market and spend...
That's unheard of.
Spend your tokens as regular money.
Okay, this is fantastic. So this is just something... So now the Green City Market isn't just something that's available to the chosen few. If you are, and it's so important because Lord knows, if you're on a link program, there aren't a lot of areas in the city where you can get a lot of fresh vegetables, where you can eat well.
Right.
You know, I always tell my friends, hey, yeah, go to, you know, Lake County and go to some of these other suburbs, and you don't see stores selling 2 liters of orange and grape pop and all these different things. And you can get, you know, you're not getting burgers 2 for $1 everywhere. They shovel that stuff down our throat on the west side and the south side, and finding fresh, what it was called, food deserts, right, where you can't get the fresh
yes.
vegetables and the good food. So if you go to the, if you're on the link program, you can go to the Green City Market and use $15, they will match it, and you can end up getting $30 worth of product.
That's right.
So that basically makes everything at Green City half price if you're
right.
If you're a link.
And let me just say too that, you know, Tracy can testify to this, that, you know, if you're gonna cook from all local product, look, you're gonna shop there and you're gonna buy the staples like the black beans and the corn or the polenta. It's gonna cost you less than if you go buy packaged food in a grocery store. You have to put the work into it,
mm-hmm.
but we have chef demonstrations, and we can show people how to use product. We have a chef there that her name is Lisa, and she is, you know, always there at the market showing people how to cook.
I guess a simple question would be, you know, I'm talking about, you go to Jewel or whatever, and you see the regular price, you see the regular vegetables, you see the organic vegetables, or you were talking about go to a store and you get vegetables, or you go to the Green City Market and get vegetables. What's the difference?
The vegetables at Green City or the organic vegetables that you're looking at in the grocery store aren't nearly as tainted with chemical substances as what is in the regular bin at the grocery store. Typically, especially at market, those items are also going to be fresher, so you're going to actually receive the nutrition that the vegetable grows with, because that nutrition has not been used up, keeping that thing in suspended animation while it goes from a farm field to a cooler, to a washing system, back to a cooler, to a truck, to a train, to another cooler. It waits for distribution. I think I most recently read that the typical head of iceberg lettuce that's on a grocery store shelf is at least 2 weeks from harvest, the day that the customer purchases it.
So the minute they bring it out from the back, it's already 2 weeks old.
It's in many cases already 2 weeks old.
So how fresh are the vegetables that I'm getting at Green City Market?
If you're buying them from me, we picked them yesterday.
So, more nutrition.
Mm-hmm. More nutrition, more flavor.
No chemicals, more flavor.
Integrity.
And it'll last longer.
And you are supporting your local economy.
Yeah, which I think is really important.
Which is very important. If we all die off, you really better like those hard red Walmart tomatoes, because that's all that's going to be out there.
People always ask me, why are you still in radio? Radio's a dying business. Why are you still a farmer?
It was almost a dying business, but in the last 20, 25 years, it's slowly but surely seeing a resurgence, because people are looking for food of quality, and it is not available in the grocery store anymore. You know, one of the things that I recently discovered, I mean, I was a chef for 20 years. You walk into a grocery store and you buy a container of heavy cream. Now, to me, in my mind, that is an ingredient. It is not a product.
Okay.
Most of the grocery store brands, especially, but some of the bigger brands as well, are thinking that the thing to do is to water down the cream with milk, then thicken it with carrageenan, add some diglycerides, put that on the shelf, and do absolutely nothing to change the packaging to let you know that now you're buying a processed product instead of heavy cream, which is skimmed off the top of the milk. But it's cheaper.
And it makes them more money.
And it makes them more money, and it makes us fat and sick.
Wow. Okay. See, now that's something I would have never known.
I didn't know it until recently, and it's like I said, I was a food service professional for years.
And had no idea.
I'm horrified by it. It's almost impossible to just find heavy cream that's not certified organic, because all the rest of them have gone to thinning it and then thickening it and putting it in the bottle and still calling it heavy cream as if it was the same thing.
Sarah Stanger from the Prairie Grass Cafe, Tracy Vow from Three Sisters Garden. I know that you've probably been salivating listening to this conversation. If you are interested in going to the Prairie Grass Cafe, they've been kind enough to bring a few gift certificates with them. 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Interested in going to the Prairie Grass Cafe? I might hook you up with a gift certificate. Give us a call, and when we come back, I want you to tell us about that Thanksgiving menu.
Absolutely.
720 WGN. 720 WGN. Ken Smith with you for a few more minutes, joined here by Sarah Stanger from the Prairie Grass Cafe and Tracy Vow from Three Sisters Garden in Kankakee. And we've been talking about your restaurant in Northbrook, and you have a Thanksgiving menu. Special Thanksgiving menu that's about to come up. First of all, I don't know how you chefs do it. First of all, it's 120 degrees in the kitchen. You're standing all day. You got to work on all the holidays. Is Thanksgiving probably one of the busiest days of the year for a chef?
It's busy, and it's a trick to do because we only have so much oven space for the turkeys. So we have to like get in there early in the morning, and you know they take a long time to roast. So
it's tough, and more and more people are like, I ain't cooking.
And that also means we have to limit our reservations.
Okay.
So we sell out, you know, so this is like you get another week or couple of weeks to go before we...
So if you want to get a reservation for Thanksgiving, should they call the restaurant or
yes.
should they go to your website?
They should call the restaurant, yeah.
And what's the phone number?
847-205-4433.
847-205-4433.
4433. Yes.
847-205-4433. Write that down so you can call them in the morning and make that reservation for Thanksgiving. What are some of the things you have on your Thanksgiving menu?
Oh, we do. It's a very traditional menu. It's just turkey with really delicious stuffing and mashed potatoes. And we do sweet potatoes that have a little meringue on them. You know, Tracy comes that day and helps me put the food out.
And you're bringing your pecans and you're doing all that good
stuff.
We
have pecan pie. We have pumpkin pie. We have chocolate cake, that kind of thing.
All that good stuff.
Yeah,
all the traditional.
Right. Okay. Butternut squash soup to start, that kind of thing.
Cranberry.
It sounds wonderful.
Ellis Farm cranberries, yeah.
So not the ones that are shaped in a can and have the rings around
them,
sir. When you take them out, and then you slice them real nice, and then you like tilt them on the bias. Yes, right. So it looks real good. Not that one?
Not that one.
Okay, this is the real cranberry.
Yeah, we get
cranberry.
Fresh local cranberries, make beautiful cranberry sauce.
Now, if somebody can't make it to Prairie Grass Cafe for sit-down Thanksgiving dinner, and they don't want to cook for Thanksgiving, you've still got them covered.
Yes, we have a to-go menu. We have a to-go menu, and...
Are you trying to kill yourself?
Well,
this is a lot of work.
It's a lot of work.
This is a lot of work.
But Thanksgiving, people are really... I mean, it's one day that everybody's happy.
It's a big day.
Very grateful.
Well, and to be perfectly honest, I mean, I've been there for a number of Thanksgivings, and they've got it down to a science. you're picking up your food, you better be here. You got between this time and this time, you better come get it.
Or else it's gone.
Yeah, because once service starts, ain't nobody talking about pickup food anymore.
Right,
you
right.
know? It's distinctly two separate things. It may as well be lunch and dinner.
What's available on the Thanksgiving to-go menu?
Just about everything that's on. It's turkey stuffing, mashed potatoes, you know, green beans, that kind of thing.
Brussels sprouts?
Yeah, Brussels sprouts. Oh, yeah, they love the Brussels
sprouts. What about the
sprouts.
Soup? What about the squash soup?
Butternut squash soup, yeah.
And how small an order can you take for Thanksgiving to-go, and how large an order can you take for Thanksgiving to-go?
Yeah, you can feed your whole family of, you know, 20, 30 people with our
so
stuff.
So if you've got everybody coming in...
Yeah, we got you covered.
You've got them covered.
Absolutely.
How about that? Yeah. That sounds fantastic. Well, again, if you're interested in going to the Prairie Grass Cafe and you want to get a reservation for Thanksgiving dinner, or you want Thanksgiving dinner to go, same process, call the restaurant or go to the website,
yes.
Or just call the restaurant?
No, call the restaurant. But I have to say, you should do it right away and not wait, because we do sell out on those turkeys. You can get the sides closer to Thanksgiving if you want. But if you want that turkey, you need to call now.
Any tips you can give the home cook on preparing a turkey? Do you brine? Are you a briner?
I don't. I roast slowly.
Are you a butterer?
Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. And the gravy with
so just
all
like me,
drippings,
you like to butter the turkey up.
Yeah, absolutely. And all the gravy drippings from all those turkeys make the best sauce. So that, I don't know if you can do that.
So you put, but do you put butter on top of the skin, under the skin,
mm-hmm.
both?
Yes.
Okay, I've also heard a rumor that, okay, some, or I've seen on television, so you're supposed to cook the turkey upside down so that the meat drips into the breast meat and keeps it moist.
We baste.
So, okay, so is that a tip that you would give the home cook?
Yes.
Continually baste?
Yep. We have a timer set. We keep basting.
What about you, Tracy? Any Thanksgiving dinner cooking tips you can give?
Kind of the same. I start really hot and then slow it down and let it roll for a good while. And I would never cook it upside down. You're going to compromise all that skin that's going to be brown and crispy on the top? Oh, no. You can't cook that bird upside down.
I can't wait for Thanksgiving now.
Okay, I would say one thing that I would suggest is that if you're going to make your own, you should go to the market and buy all kinds of different squash and try them for Thanksgiving. You don't have to use just butternut squash. You can use all different kinds.
That's a great time to actually give the Green City Market a try.
Yeah.
When you're buying those vegetables and buying those different root vegetables and things like that for your Thanksgiving dinner. It's a great time to try it out. Sarah Stanger from the Prairie Grass Cafe, Tracy Val from Three Sisters Garden. I hope that next year is a bumper crop for you.
Absolutely.
I hope that the restaurant continues to do well. Have a great rest of the year. Have a great Thanksgiving service.
Thank you.
And we appreciate you coming in. A couple of closing thoughts coming up here in just a second on 720 WGN.